Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Friday to you. Hope you are having a good one in the greater Houston area or wherever you're listening. And however you're listening, thanks for making us a part of your day. The Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line is the way you get involved. 713-572-4610. Or on the YouTube page or the Twitch page. Both of them presented proudly by Mokarem Injury Lawyers. And
they keep it 100.
They do indeed keep 100. At least that's what I've heard from time to time. All right. I want to take you back to yesterday, 7:30 a.m. in particular, when Payne Pendergast had one of many conversations with general manager of this Houston Texans football team, Nick Caserio. We talked about some of it yesterday, and obviously you'll hear about it a lot. We're 3 weeks out from the draft, and we're talking about free agency. Like, all of these things are pertinent. You had some takeaways, some more takeaways and things that you think that it's fair to kind of draw some conclusions on. So let us know if you agree with these conclusions that we'll draw. And we'll start here. And this is a cut to Byron. This is Nick Caserio on Payne Pendergast. And Sean asked a pretty good question about – let me press pause.
He was all right.
Let me press pause. Because that came out very, very wrong.
It was all right.
That was not meant to be a judgment of any sorts. And it sounded very judgmental. Sean is very good at this. Seth is very good at this. I hope to be as good as them someday when I grow up. But I thought Sean asked a good question when he asked, were there maybe times last year where D'Amico and offensive line coach Chris Strasser and Bobby Slowick and a player just kind of weren't necessarily on the same page?
Yeah, I'm not going to speak for D'Amico, but I mean, you know, there's always a lot of communication that takes place. It's never one particular thing. So in the end, going back to when we made the decision, when D'Amico made the decision that he did to move on from Bobby, certainly wasn't an easy decision. So I'd say the fact that Nick and Cole have some level of experience together, I mean, it always helps when anytime that you have an opportunity to work with one another. Again, like, we've won 20 games over the last 2 years. So like, a lot of things that we were doing, you know, couldn't have been all that bad. So, but you know, we're just trying to figure out like, all right, what's the best thing for the Texans? What do we think we got to do moving forward? I think we'll work through it here. We'll try to have a good off season, you know, try to get the players, let's say, in good condition. And then once we get to training camp, obviously we're going to have more information. We're going to have a better idea of where we are. And the whole goal is to just make sure that we're as prepared as we possibly can be for whoever the opponent is week one.
All right. So this is read between the lines, make your own conclusions. And mine might be different from yours,
okay,
or Byron's,
all right,
or any of our listeners. But personally, I think it's pretty obvious. You know, obviously, I'm not going to speak for D'Amico. That's fair. But as he's listening to talking about that question, you know, was there a disconnect? You know, we can draw the conclusion clearly there was something. You know, because that was one of D'Amico's best friends in the business.
Sure,
and he had to let him go. They kept one of the offensive line coaches, who, as he said there, you got to read between the lines. And that's what we're in the business of, and sometimes, unfortunately, in this business. You know, he mentioned, well, he's, you know, he and Nick Caley have a relationship, you know, and it's never one thing. Those are the two things from Nick's answer that really stood out to me. It's never one thing. And the question was about, was there a disconnect, lack of communication, whatever it may be. I think that's a yes. To me, reading between the lines, that's a yes. It's never one thing. He's right. But it's sort of an artful dodge there, you know, from the question itself. And that's what Nick Caserio, you know, it does and should do. But if we're listening to this, it's like, okay, yes, all those things that we're sort of postulating and thinking about and wondering about had to have been a factor.
I mean, yeah, and I think that that's probably better answered by going back to, you know, D'Amico Ryan speaking at various points throughout this week, he frequently using kind of the messaging of one voice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, I think, and you can make the, you know, kind of potential for multiple voices, so to say, in different levels. Like, maybe it's coach and coordinator, maybe it's coordinator and, you know, assistant coach, like whatever it is. But clearly there was a lack of synergy in objective or in the ways to get to the objective somewhere within the process, because in some ways, like, the new messaging feels like it is answering to that previous problem that existed. And so it does feel like that was a previous problem. And I do want to ask you, do you think that that's encouraging, right? Because obviously it's not encouraging that you had the problems. It's very bad that you had these particular issues largely derail, or I guess, man, I shouldn't say derail. You won 10 games, you won your division, you won a playoff game. But I mean,
we know what we saw.
Yeah, it hampered the ultimate aptitude that you were able to reach because of this portion of your team. Do you think that's encouraging at all? That it seems like if he's leaning on yes, there, or if we're kind of reading between the lines and seeing yes, there was some sub-level issue there, that they're working so hard and they're speaking so much and they're focusing so much on the idea of having that unison and that unity and that one singular voice going in.
I think that's the focus. I think that's the goal. That's the focus. Again, he just alluded to it. These guys have worked together. It's never one thing, but let's talk about, you know, the way they're going to move forward with this. And I think it's fair. You know, it's not a criticism because, frankly, I think all of us would have done the same thing. That wasn't working. There wasn't a communication.
No.
The offensive line coach and the coordinator clearly had different ideas of how they should be approaching these things. And, oh, by the way, we saw it on the field. You know, we talked about it at 10 a.m. about 2 hours ago now. You know, what they did to Dalton Schultz was frankly unfair. We can criticize Dalton Schultz and his blocking and everything else, but it's unfair.
Or
his face.
That sounds like a joke.
His headband.
Well, I wasn't going there. I wasn't just saying we're bullying him. No, that sounds like a joke, but I do mean it. Like, I feel like sometimes we got upset at Dalton Schultz because in his face or in his demeanor.
You see the frustration.
And I think that frustration sometimes read as, oh, he don't want to try. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder if that is just a lack of belief in what's being brought to the table, right? Because even if you're trying, I think we all know in our lives that if you don't really believe what you're doing, it makes it tougher to get there. I really do hope that a level of unity, a level of synergy it helps bring a level of belief in what these guys are doing. And this is where I can maybe get on track with, I guess, the hopium, for lack of a better term. And I try not to say that judgmentally, that a lot of people have with the offensive line, that, okay, at least if there is a game plan that, one, obviously is just going to be better than the circumstances that these guys were left out with last year. Mm-hmm. But then, two, these guys can believe in, is capable of actually getting the job done, then that can probably raise the level in the performance.
And I think that's what they're doing. Yeah. You know, again, it was unfair. We can criticize him, but it was unfair to have a pass-catching tight end be on the edge one-on-one with an elite or even very good NFL defensive rush end. So clearly, I think the answer, the reading between the lines here is, yeah, there was a disconnect. Yeah, the communication was bad. And yeah, they feel much better about the relationship and what Cole Popovich is going to bring, in terms of implementing Nick Caley's offense.
All right, Mr. Between the Lines reader, what do you feel here? When Nick Caserio, on with Payne and Pendergast yesterday, was asked about the four picks in the top 89, which is, 25, the first round, 25, second round, 58. I think I traded a 59 yesterday when I was messing with my mock draft simulator. Neither here nor there. And then you have a couple in the 80s in round three. You have all of those picks. Nick.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plans today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the 2025 draft, like, you know, moving up, moving back, what's it looking like?
Yeah, there's always opportunities top to bottom. So our grading system may be a little bit different than some other grading system, but I think our job between now and the end of April is to understand and know as much about each player as possible, understand what we have. I would say the only thing that we quote unquote need to do is draft good football players with the right mindset and the right mentality, regardless of the position that we play. So that's where our focus is. That's how we've approached it here the last 4 years. That's how we've approached it the last 2 years, specifically with D'Amico and I. And it's not going to change this year. So we're not going to all of a sudden do something different this year than we've done previous years. So no position is going to be off limits. Draft good football players. Look at the grade. Follow our board. Follow our process. And just get them in the building however we see fit.
All right, I want to clear something up. I set that up incorrectly. That was actually a question about, you know, Are you still doing like the draft evaluation of guys outside of kind of positions of need further than that, especially with the picks that you have and the needs that you might kind of more be drafting towards?
And I think that set up perfectly. And I said it before Robinson was brought in or any of, you know, Trent Brown or any of these guys. You know, one thing that Nick Caserio hates, every general manager hates it, but it seems like Nick Caserio really, really wants to be in a position where he's a little unpredictable. And as much as you and I might say, oh, offensive lineman, oh, maybe a receiver, I think it's really unpredictable, you know, and I think that's the position that he likes to be in, and that's what he said. I believe he said no position is off limits. It might sound a little crazy for you and me, but really no position is off limits. Hell, we talked about tight end earlier, you know, and at this point it might sound crazy for you and me, but if there's something crazy that happens in the draft, he's in a position to move up or move down and be a little unpredictable.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the objective. I might be a little more conservative in that way. Like anytime I hear move up, I get a little shaky.
Sure.
Because that is, you're really betting on, I perfectly identified this. And I mean, if you're moving up for like a Tyler Warren, I get why you would feel that confidence. He has looked like a monster in his time in college. And then obviously all through this particular offseason as you get ready for the draft. And that brings me back to the text line, the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, specifically the 8-2 asks, would you guys give up an extra first round pick next year? So next year's first round pick in order to move up and get Tyler Warren. This person would. They go further to say that, you know, he looks like J.J. Watt if J.J. Watt had stayed at tight end. How do you feel about that? Because, again, you talk about, like, hey, tight end, that level of versatility and being able to draft anything. Would you take that level of being able to draft everything and then give advanced additional capital in order to move up to get a player like that?
That is a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable.
I don't either.
And I acknowledge I'm being a scaredy cat. That's fair, but I don't feel comfortable with that. Even understanding Tyler Warren is really good. He feels like he'd be the type of player that you know, splits the difference of what we were talking about earlier when it comes to tight end.
Mm-hmm.
You want somebody who's going to impact the passing game, especially better than what Dalton Schultz did last year, which, of course, you can blame on various different things besides just Dalton himself. But then also, you would very much like somebody who can contribute to the run game, especially in a way that Nick Caley, even if we don't know exactly what he wants to run, we know he likes big formations.
Mm-hmm.
We know that he likes those. I know that he's spoken about being a more of a game plan offense and kind of wanting to hit various things. So maybe he doesn't specifically do that, but giving him the versatility and the option, of having your tight end in line and those types of things. That'd be cool. I just don't know if I prioritize that over solidifying an offensive line that is the foundation of all these things, or giving yourself another wide receiver, or making your defense even better in attacking quarterbacks on the opposing side.
Yeah, that would be a no for me.
Okay. All right.
But
you're also a scaredy cat. Welcome.
I am a scaredy cat when it comes to a top 10 pick. To move from 25 into top 10, 11, whatever it may be, for Tyler Warren, that's a big, big amount of equity.
What if it's not like up beyond 14 to get that? And what if it's like...
Well, then that's what I'm talking about. Like Nick Casario is in a perfect position.
Okay.
You know, this is what he wanted. He didn't want to be predictable. Oh, they're drafting a guard. Oh, they're drafting a tackle. Now you can plausibly believe that there are some options there, you know? So I would be a little more warm to the idea, you know, of 15, 16, whatever it may be.
The 337 said, I can see them drafting a quarterback. I actually can too, but it feels like that.
Not there.
No. Ooh, absolutely not. That would make me mad on multiple fronts.
Yes, it would.
You know my stance on this quarterback class, with all due respect to the dudes in it, not saying that they can't become something great, but I don't like the odds that I'd be gambling on using that. And then two, I mean, you're set at quarterback. This feels like one of those, maybe you take a day three flyer on a guy. I know that in their various visits, whether it's top 30 or local days or what have you, they've talked to Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
And so I do wonder if they do something like that in one of the later rounds. Real quick before we go here, I want to circle back around to this. Nick Casario was asked, how do you feel out a player potentially making trade in division, like Christian Kirk, when you acquired him for like that seventh round pick?
Yeah, I would say you never make it personal. I would say that whole notion, Seth, of, okay, if you trade in a division, look, some of it is a little bit of a myth. So, I mean, you're either going to do business with people or you're not. And you can't be afraid of what the repercussions or what the fan base might think. Oh, you can't do that because it's going to have a negative effect. Everybody just has to run their team how they see fit and just make the decisions that they feel are in their best interest. We're not opposed to doing anything that we feel is going to help the Houston Texans, because that's ultimately the fiduciary responsibility that we have, that I have to D'Amico and to the McNair family, is to do what I think is in the best interest of the Houston Texans, not what's in the best interest of me personally. So we'll work with anybody. Like, you're never going to, this list of players are off limit, or list of agents or list of teams. Quite frankly, I think that's pretty parochial and narrow-minded to do business that way. So as long as we're in a position, you know, that we're in, that I'm in, then, you know, we'll be open-minded and do business and do what's best for what's best for the Texans first and foremost.
And that one stood out to me just because I wanted to give him a figurative fist bump. This is one of the things I've stood on for a long time. Nick, if you're listening, consider yourself fist bumped, because I've always said this. Don't play scared. You've heard me say it. I've said it for years. Don't play scared. You know, what are you doing? You either have confidence in what you're doing, or you're scared. And a lot of general managers don't do this. A lot of general managers don't like to deal with teams in their division. Now, the Deshaun Watson thing, in which it was very obvious he wasn't going to deal with anybody in the division, that's totally different. Franchise quarterback at his powers back then, before we all knew how much he would fall. I get that. If it's a quarterback. But if you're saying, division, I don't want to, you're basically scared that you're going to look bad. You know, you don't want to look bad.
That's always the concern, right?
And I don't like general managers that are worried about looking bad.
Right. And I think that if you talk about anybody who's not concerned about appearances,
yeah,
it is Nick Casario. And I appreciate that, because that feels like an unnecessary hindrance to put on the way that you do your operation. And
yes.
So I think that that's the thing that I ultimately take away is, oh, yeah, my man's all business. He's like, let's make sure that we can get this result. Let's not worry about some of the other things that would unnecessarily make my job harder here. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Again, salute to Payne and Pendergast. Another fantastic sit down with Nick Casario. If you want to go back and listen to that, it's on the Payne and Pendergast podcast page. There's a lot of P's in that. Payne and Pendergast podcast page. Goodness
That's
gracious.
A lot.
7:30 a.m. yesterday, if you want to go back and listen to that in full. All right. You're in the loop. And coming up next, let's do our lunchtime confessions presented by the Men's Clinic.